Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm Janet Hutchings, EQMM's editor. The podcast you're about to hear was recorded at the BoucherCon World Mystery Convention in Toronto this past October. The convention's theme was the international scope of crime fiction, and it drew authors from a number of different countries, including Ragnar Jonasson, a star of Icelandic crime fiction. Ragnar Jonasson's fiction is currently published in 14 different countries, has appeared on the bestseller lists in the UK and in France, and consistently makes the Amazon Kindle bestseller lists. His 8 novels belong to the Dark Iceland mystery series, which is currently under development for television. His short stories are few in number but equally impactful. Those published by EQMM have been translated by the author. Here he is reading his story, A Letter to Santa, from the January 2015 issue of EQMM.
Christmas Eve in Siglufjörður, the northernmost town in Iceland. A town filled with history, previously the booming center of herring fishing in Iceland, but now a quieter place with a considerably smaller population. A bright, albeit slightly cold, place in summertime, with 24-hour daylight in the peak of summer, but bitterly cold and dark in wintertime, with the sun disappearing behind the massive mountains in the late November and not reappearing until 2 months later. Gunnar did not expect a visit from anyone that evening of December 24th, traditionally the most festive evening of the Icelandic Christmas holidays, when families gather around the Christmas tree after dinner for the unwrapping of the presents. Now he lived alone, his wife having passed away a couple of months earlier, his first Christmas alone, more than 12 years since their daughter Jódís had vanished at the age of 16. One summer day, she was simply gone without a trace. He felt only despair at first, then perhaps a glimmer of hope and optimism, then despair again. Nothing was ever the same. Jódís so conspicuous by her absence. His sorrow was overwhelming, almost to the point of total darkness. Jódís simply went to sleep in her room on the ground floor, and the morning after she wasn't there. There was no way of telling what had happened. Had she perhaps been sleepwalking? Nothing like that had ever happened before, but it wasn't ruled out as a possibility. The police were immediately alerted, and an extensive search took place. There was no sign of abduction, no blood anywhere. The room neat as always. She had just vanished into thin air. Gunnar himself went out and searched day after day, week after week. Always in vain, he knew that the police had covered the area pretty well, but he felt he had to do something. The police suggested that she had probably run away. They said that was the most common reason for teenagers disappearing. Had she been in bad company, taking drugs, drinking a lot? No, the answer was always no. Days passed, then weeks and months. The media interest waned, of course. The people of the small town of Siglufjörður didn't forget. And every time Gunnar left the house, he met glances filled with sympathy, but also tainted with a little bit of suspicion. Had he and his wife had anything to do with the disappearance of their daughter? And now it had been 12 years. He thought of her every single day, and it still hurt. Just thinking about her. It even hurt trying not to think about her. She never contacted him, but still he knew that she was alive. He felt it so very strongly. It had been a shock when she left. It had taken him years to adjust. Of course, he would never accept it, but he had adjusted in a way. Kept on going, letting the days pass, just waiting for her to return. And now he was all alone in the big house. At Christmas he always read her letter, the letter Jódís had written to Santa Claus all those years ago when she was only 6 years old. He hadn't seen it until after she had gone. He found it hidden away a few months after she vanished. The letter had most certainly kept him awake at night, but he reread it every Christmas to remind himself that all this could have been avoided if he had simply acted on his suspicions all those years ago. Well, suspicions were hardly the right word. Of course, he knew. Dinner was in the oven. He could not imagine Christmas without a home-cooked meal, even though he was only cooking for one. There was also a small Christmas tree in the living room, a lovely fir tree with some modest decorations, and two presents under the tree, one from Gunnar to himself, a book to read for the holidays. Life goes on, you adapt, you adjust, he kept telling himself. The other present was an old one from Gunnar and his wife to their daughter, bought 12 years ago when they were still hoping, waiting, when only a few months had passed, feeling like eternity though. It was really a picture-perfect day. Gunnar enjoyed a mountain view from his living room and had stepped out into the garden earlier. Snow on the ground, snow in the mountains, a starry sky, cold yet mild. It was just past 6 o'clock, and he was about to sit down for his dinner when there was a knock on the door. He stood still for a while, couldn't believe that he had a visitor on Christmas Eve. No one would drop by for an unexpected visit on Christmas Eve. I must be hearing things, he thought to himself. He walked slowly to the door, waited, and then there was a second knock. Not too loud, yet firm. His heart skipped a beat. He felt like he knew who it was. Seeing her standing there was a shock, to say the least. He felt the tears, couldn't do anything to stop them, nor did he want to. He stood still for a while. He was simply unable to move. He had waited for this day for 12 years, and now the moment felt unreal. Hjodís simply said, "Dad," she looked down. He heard her breathing heavily, anxiously. "Hi," she added, almost as if she was too upset to form longer sentences. It was obvious from her eyes that she had been crying. He didn't know what to say, just stepped forward and hugged her. Finally, he said, "I always knew you would come back." "I didn't," she replied. "How are you, my darling girl?" "I'm okay, thanks, Dad." She followed him inside and they sat down at the dinner table, just like old times. "Are you hungry?" She nodded. "I've been driving for hours." They enjoyed their dinner in silence. Gunnar was still in a state of shock, but tried to maintain his composure. His daughter had returned. He could hardly believe it. "I'm sure you were expecting me," she finally said. "In a way, perhaps," he admitted, then added, "That's yours," he pointed at the present. "Although it's been here for years, waiting for you." "Thanks," she smiled for the first time. "Are you here to stay?" he asked tentatively, worried what the answer might be. "For a while, yes. I have a boyfriend in Reykjavik, though. We live together, but I'll stay for the holidays, at least." His heart was beating too fast. It still felt like a dream. "Where did you go?" Such a simple question, filled with so many years of anxiety and fear. "My friend helped me to, disappear for a while, out of Siglufjörður, and then I boarded a ship. I lived abroad for quite a long time. I'm not sure that I had fully thought this through at the time, but I had to go, you know that. I had to go," she paused. "And then I'd been away for too long and I really couldn't imagine coming back. Not until now. I'm sorry." "No, I'm sorry," he said immediately. "I should have done something. You know, I've kept your letter. I've read it again and again." She looked slightly taken aback. "My letter? The one you wrote, you know, to Santa Claus." There was a moment of surprise, but then she seemed to realize what he was referring to. "Really? Wow, I had completely forgotten about that. I must have been, what, 5 or 6? 6, he said quietly. "I didn't know how to get it delivered, so I just hid it away, I think. It's been so long." "You remember what you wrote?" he asked. "Of course, and you've read it, so now you know." "I think I've always known. At first it was only a suspicion, of course. I tried for as long as I could to hang on to the delusion that everything was okay. I'm sorry I didn't do more." He hesitated and then added, "I'm sorry that I didn't do anything. I was too weak." And suddenly he was crying again. Hjodís didn't say anything. She didn't get up to comfort him. "I hated you both," she said calmly. "I hated her for what she did, you for what you didn't do." your failure to act. The words sounded rehearsed. I could never forgive her, but gradually I was able to forgive you. That's why I'm here. That's why I came back. When did the violence start? Before you were 6, obviously, having read the letter? I'm not sure. As far as I can remember, she was always violent, in a very subtle way, of course, keeping it from you. Physically abusive, verbally abusive. I don't understand how you stuck with her for so long. His reply was simply, I'm so happy that you're back. He didn't want to think of all the years spent in a loveless marriage, why he never packed his bags and left, why it took him so long to act. Can I have my old room? Of course, he smiled, wiped his tears. It's more or less unchanged. We were always waiting for you to come home. I'll probably sleep in tomorrow morning. I'm so tired. Well, you have been away for a while. She stood up and reached for the present under the fir tree. Can I open it? By all means. She unwrapped the packets carefully. A book, she said. She sounded happy. I bought it for a 16-year-old girl, so I'm not sure it's something you'd be interested in now. Some teenage love story. It was quite popular back then, I think. It's perfect. Silence, and then, thanks, Dad. She left the living room but came back, stopped in the doorway. How did she die? Your mother? Yes. She died in her sleep, an overdose of sleeping pills. The police said it was probably suicide, but the official verdict was accident. They felt sorry for us, you know. People have been feeling sorry for us since you left. She nodded. I guess, the thing is, he said, I always knew you'd come back when she was dead. I knew that you were alive, but that you would never return to her. You were right. He sighed. I just hope that it wouldn't be too late, that I would still be here to see you, if only one more time. Well, it seems things turned out that way. We have a lot of catching up to do. At that moment, Gunnar was so happy that he had finally had the courage to act. After all those years, love had gradually turned into hatred, so in the end, it had proven relatively easy for him to kill his wife.
A Letter to Santa is copyrighted by Ragnar Jonasson. Music for the podcast is by Randon Miles and was obtained from the Community Audio section of the Internet Archive. Mixing for the podcast was done by Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at ellerycreenmysterymagazine.com.